Appreciate your prayers. I want to say, to start with, that serving the Lord is not to be just a hobby.
That's right.
It's not just a pastime. Serving the Lord is to be all of our life. I knew a man one time that was a businessman, and I remember when he got saved, and I was very fascinated by his salvation. I used to go and talk to him when I was worked for him in a sense, but used to talk to him, and he would just beam with the fact that the Lord had saved him. He'd tell you about Jesus. But one day he told me asked him how it was going, and he said pretty good, but had some business problems. And he said, I don't mix my religion and my business. In other words, I'm as shrewd as I need to be in business. I don't mix it with religion. You don't have a religion then. You don't have something that works. Jesus isn't to be shelved. You can't put him on the side. It doesn't work that he gets second place in your life. Second place doesn't work with God. You don't get anywhere with second place with God. God needs to be the first place. God is everything and is all energy. He's all force. He's everything to us, and everything that we do should be for his work. It may be not directly necessarily, but we're all to work for the Lord, because everything we do as Christians is to be in the realms of working for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. We often pray for our meals and say, Lord, bless this food to the strengthening of our bodies, that we might use it to live for you. What do we need food for? For energy. For what? Live for God?
Yes.
Lord, bless the food that we could use it for thy glory, that you could get something out of our lives and help us. Now I want to look at a song in our book, number 302. The name of it is, My Soul, Be on Thy Guard.
That's right.
My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. Well, I thank the Lord tonight for Jesus, because if the song writer gets it correctly, and I wouldn't doubt it a bit, that that's a correct statement, that 10,000 foes arise. I don't feel very capable of taking on 10,000 foes. But I do believe that the Lord is the great master. I believe he can conquer all the foes. The scripture says that my soul needs to be on guard, because there's 10,000 foes to arise, and a host of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Lord, help us tonight, because we live in a world that is being pressed. We're being pressed on every side in our faith, about our faith. Brother Doug mentioned to me last night, Pope Francis declared that there was no hell. I want to declare that there is. There is a hell. And I can know there's a hell because I feel the influences of it. I see the influences of hell around us. See, we live in a world. But influencing this world, I believe, is two other worlds. You know, there's only two other worlds to go to when you leave this life. There is a heaven to go to, or there is a hell to go to. The Bible declares both. That there is a place of splendor and glory, and it is only right that it be there because it's where Jesus is at. Jesus is the light. No need for the sun. Jesus is the light. I believe in that world is love and joy and peace. I believe in that world is everything good and wholesome and right and holy and pure and white and clean is in that world. And Jesus come to this world that the heavenly world might influence this world. Jesus is trying to influence this world. The Spirit of the Lord is influencing this world. The people that accepted God are influencing this world. We have the Bible inspired by men, by the Holy Ghost to write it down, and this word is influencing our world. Yes. To better things. The more people respond to that, the influence, the better this world would be. The answer to the problem, as the singers told us, was anything that you need, Jesus is the answer for that problem. Whatever's wrong, He's right. He's got the answers. He's trying to influence this world, and He's trying to influence it of His own character, His own makeup, from the very land that He came from. Jesus came from His Father from heaven to this world, and He brought the influence of that to this world. And He's trying to influence us. There is another world. And it's trying to influence. It is continually influencing this world. There is a hell to go to, folks, when you leave this world. It's an eternal hell. But that hell that is in existence is bubbling over. The influences of hell are, because that's what it is. Hell without, hell is a place of that people will expend souls. People will spend eternity there. But what will they spend eternity in? They'll spend it in everything that's not heaven. If heaven's love, then hell's not. It's not love, it's hatred. It's bitterness. It's envies. It's jealousies. It's hatred of everything and all. It's void of good. It's void of righteousness. I see the world that we live in now being affected by hell. Hell is bubbling over to the world, but the idea that the devil is trying to do with this influence, he's wanting to get into your hearts with hell. I can tell you, I can listen to the news just a little bit and tell you that the devil is getting a lot of influence from hell into this world. Every once in a while, you'll hear of something so hideous. You'll hear of some young man that's blowing up people in Texas. Or you'll hear of somebody that's pulled out a gun and wiped out a bunch of school children. That is hell, folks. That is hell bubbling over into this world. The influences of hell that is coming right in among us. And it's being propagated. And it becomes so ridiculous to us that I say, what's behind it? Everything God said has been challenged. Even if it's hideous and ridiculous and against biology, against nature, against no matter what it's against, from the natural human view even, if God said it, it's been challenged. God said in the beginning, He made male and female. Made He them. And do you know that hell's bubbling out and trying to convince the population that male and female isn't real? And that you don't go by those standards of male and female? God said that He made them male and female. You can bank on it that it's male and female. I don't have any trouble recognizing male and female. I see it very cleanly and clearly that God did it. But the world is trying to say, where does such notions come from but except from the very pits of hell? I can look into the Scripture and say of the prophet, or different ones, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb when he come into contact with the Lord. He was alive. Folks, that ain't complicated. It isn't complicated to know that a baby. I'd ask my wife. I've been there with my wife. We've had children. I've pushed in on it and it kicked back, and I know the child's alive. But the world says it different. The world tries to say it different to the fact that it's not even valuable. Hey, if you got one you want to get rid of, you can get rid of it. It's okay. It's hell, folks. It's the enemy of our soul in the place he comes from, and he's putting that influence. This song said, my soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. It means I don't have no trouble with recognizing the clearness of scriptures and clearness of understanding to say that some of these hideous things wrong. But it ain't just those foes, it's 10,000 foes arise. Modern world, modern man is refuting the idea of God altogether. We don't need a God. It's the weakness of man that created a God. Instead of God creating man. Man created God. Because he had certain needs and things he couldn't explain, so he explains it away with a God, and they tell us there's nothing there. Do you know that everything God said is challenged today? In the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned. And God looked down and said, they put fig leaves on. You remember the story? Put fig leaves on. And the Lord comes down and says, fig leaves ain't gonna work. We'll make you some clothes.
That's right.
God clothed them, and from that point to this, it's a truth. It is a truth. And you can see it all around. Challenging God about that. God said to clothe yourself. Man says it's not necessary. It's an amazing thing to me in the scriptures. Because when you had the people, the Legion, for instance. Legion had some qualities about him. You know, one of the things was that he was naked. Why does devil-possessed people always go there? It's because it's a slap at God. And hell's boiling over. And the influences of that are flowing over into our society. And if it's not careful, it'll overflow into us. Are you willing to love the truth tonight? Because that's the truth. God sets and establishes life, and the devil is trying to destroy every standard of what God said to be true. Do you know that God set mankind as his crowning creation? Mankind and the life that God give us is crowning to God. And yet our world dismisses human life as if it's nothing. It devalues human life to the fact that hundreds of thousands of abortions are committed every year in our country as a righteous deed. It's because hell is boiling over. Also, the two things that Legion and the heretic both had in common, they both were naked and they both had desires of self-affliction or self-ruination. They wanted to destroy themselves. When you get those feelings of self-destruction, it's the devil. The devil wants to destroy you, and he's trying to convince your mind that you're useless and worthless and there's no value in you and you need to get rid of your own life. And it's rampant in our society today. Convincing people that it's better, I can leave this world and be better off. But because we have erased hell and consequences of sin, the world has erased it all. Hell is bubbling over. 10,000 foes have arisen to challenge God's righteousness influence in this world. It's getting, if I can say this, I don't think you'll argue. That is getting worse. Oh, we may go this way, but the trend line is down. The trend line is down. Our behavior as humans upon the earth is getting more and more unrighteous as it goes. The hell is boiling over. And I want to look at a scripture over in Isaiah. Isaiah 5. And 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and open her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he hath rejoiced shall descend into it. Hell hath enlarged its capacity. It's taking in a larger area. More it is. One writer wrote it this way. He said that hell was like a ravenous beast that feeds on souls. And it's extending its tentacles. It's extending its reach into the far everywhere, and it's bubbled over in more and more into the effects of man through sin. He's affecting our world more and more. And it's not unusual that it's getting deeper and deeper into these crazy ideas about what it is. And now if you want to say you're a man and you want to say you're a woman, it's perfectly okay to do that, and all society's got to admit it and say it's right. If you want to marry someone of your own gender, you can do it, and everybody's got to be shut up about it. Lord, help us not to shut up about it. We love everybody. Don't get me wrong. We are to love everybody as Christ loved them. Christ died for everybody. He died for me while I was yet a sinner. He died for you while you were yet a sinner. But he didn't die to make me inferior, or he didn't die for me to make me less than I ought to be. God made man in his own image. We're not cattle. We're not beasts of the field. We're not just like dogs or hogs or beasts that we can just hit a certain level. We're made in the image of God. We can live above the normal lust and desires of this flesh into an angelic realm. We're sons of God. We're to live on a highway of holiness above this old sin-sick world. But I want to tell you, don't you just take it for granted, because my soul, be on thy guard lest I have a seed of unbelief about what God is and what he wants to do. Hell's bubbling tonight. It's getting more and more and more influence in this world. And the great thinkers and the people that have the power to do something about it sit around and scratching their head and saying, what can we do? Let's ban the guns. Let's get something going. Let's get an advertisement campaign going. I want to tell you what the answer is tonight. If I be lifted up, Jesus said. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. There is a scripture that talks about the likening between Jesus on the cross being lifted up and the serpent in Moses. What a beautiful story. Some people say it could never be that Jesus is represented by a serpent. Folks, Jesus was made sin for us. He was made sin. He took on the sins of the world on him. And if the antidote of the serpent bite is the serpent, then the antidote of sin was the sin, and Jesus paid it for us. What a beautiful story. Thank God that he paid that. I know what the answer to the world's problems is. I know what to make people quit shooting and killing and do that. And I know something else that's valuable. You hang hell over them, because it's truth. It's truth. We take away all of that, and when you leave this world, you'll just leave it gone. And how many times? And Lord, help us ministers to be able to stand up, because there's hard times and hard things sometimes, and sometimes loved ones pass away. And all too often in the world, no matter how evil or wicked they've been in life, or how much they shunned the Lord, or whatever they did, or die instantly, or everything, the minister almost always puts them in they're better off now. They're in a good place now, being with the Lord. And they make the ones that look on say, well, if they live that way and be on the Lord, then I can do anything, shoot people, kill people. I was saved when I was young. I can do anything I want. And there's going to be no penalty for that. I can do whatever and say whatever and be whatever, and there's no penalty for that. Lord, help us. None of us are judges of a man leaving this world. But we definitely ain't a judge of saying somebody's getting somewhere that they're not. And then there's young people that look on at those kind of situations and they get in a hard place, and maybe they're bullied. You hear a lot about that. Or maybe there's something that's a little unique about them and they feel inferior and they struggle with life. And maybe they get their heart on some other young person and fall for them. And then they get their heart broken and they don't seem like life holds anything for them, and they're in misery. And the only thing they can think is I'll be better off over there. I'll be better off. I'm going to take my life. I'll hang myself. I'll take some pills. I'll do something when it's nothing more than the hell bubbling over and influencing our world, because there is a heaven and a hell. There is a righteousness. There is a living for God faithfully. There is a being true. Lord, help us. Several years ago, I was in a tent meeting in Wisconsin. And I was doing most of the preaching, if not all of it. I don't remember. And I went to bed one night and woke up somewhere in the middle of the night. I had a dream. And I know you don't always... You might eat too much popcorn before you went to bed, or a hot dog late. But this was a different dream. The Bible does talk about dreams. I had a dream. And in my dream, I was over in my hometown. My hometown, they used to have, and they still do, I just don't go to it, they used to have, it was called the Wood Chopping Festival, and noon on Saturday, they'd have a parade through town. Well, in my dream, I was there where I used to be as when I grew up, been along the side of the street there in Webster Springs, and the parade was going on. I was standing with a great multitude gathered, you know how they do with parades, and everybody was there. And just now here comes these little, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they do these little cars that kind of do a figure eight and go up and down the road. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They used to do that, and that was going on. And just now here come a clown down the street. And the clown came down the street, and I looked at the clown and thought there was something very evil and wicked about that clown that come down the street. And just now it started inflating, getting bigger and bigger and bigger until the clown was a gigantic being. I mean, it was gigantic, and the people was looking on, and there was oohs and ahs, and just now the big clown got so big that he started crushing people, stomping and crushing people. And I was horrified in my dream that that was happening, and the people was laughing. They was just really laughing, and I was saying, this is real. What are you laughing? This is real. This is serious. This is real. And nobody took it seriously at all. And the whole procession went down, and it's clown and all, and it went down to the center, kind of the center of town, and the lower side of the street opened up into a great fiery pit. And I looked, and I was backing and saying, run, run, get out of here. But the people was just willingly walking, willingly, almost easily, just walking towards, an obvious destruction, just walking into it, just into it. And then all of a sudden, I said, what are you doing? Why are they doing this? Run! Why are you going to destruction? Why are you going? And it kept going and going. And in a little bit, I stood and tried to do it, and all of a sudden, I just got the urge to go to. I was just started, and I was going, and I didn't want to go. But I was saying, I don't want to do this. But I was going. I'm marching to right down there. And I couldn't stop myself. There was a power. There was a force just pulling me. And I was going just like everybody else. And I was getting frantic, and I was getting closer. And this, and finally I started saying, Jesus. Every time I said Jesus, I could stop.
Thank the Lord.
And then I started moving, Jesus. And finally I learned the secret. Every time that the whole thing was a pulling on me, I said, Jesus, Jesus help me. But all of a sudden I had power. Jesus help me. Finally, Jesus got me out of there. And all of a sudden I woke up in my dream just kind of in a sweat and sat up in the bed and said, what was that? But it stayed with me. And it stayed with me for a long time and still there. Because there's a force, folks, that's trying to pull you. My soul, be on thy guard, because the world is changing. Holiness and righteousness doesn't change. Faith in God doesn't change. Oh, things change. Society changes. Colors of clothes may change. Styles may change. Things may change. But Lord, help us that our faith in God don't change. Our righteousness before the Lord don't change. Lord, help us to be a light and example of truth in this world now, because there's 10,000 foes arose against it, trying to make us doubt even the existence of God. or the answers of God. Almost get us to the point sometime that you can't really say with a full faith, Lord help us, because I felt some of the pressure of this. There was a time it wasn't like that with me back early when I got saved. And the people around me wasn't like that either. But there can be a real doubt whether the Lord can heal somebody. I don't... Really? Can the Lord still heal our bodies? Well, yeah, He can, but do we really believe He can? Amen. Do we really believe that God's in control of everything in life? Do we believe our very lives is in His hand? And He can lead and guide us into that? Because there's 10,000 foes arising to challenge our faith on every hand. Do you think that it's okay? Because the world says it ain't. It's amazing. Because on one hand, there's only one place that I can think of that life is valuable to the world. Pretty much is that if you put your life in the hands of the Lord, they're saying it's too valuable to do that. Everything else you can throw it away. You can take your own life. That's okay. Or assisted suicide. That's okay. You can kill or abort your child. That's okay. You can do a lot of things to life of that, but don't trust your life with the Lord because it's too valuable for that. That's challenging the very existence that there is a God that's in control of everything. My soul be on thy guard that we don't drop the ball in our time, saints. We don't drop it here now. That we're able to fight the forces of hell. Because hell is enlarging itself. And I don't doubt hell because hell is in people's hearts. Hell is bubbled out to be in our land. It's in our country. It's in our world. It's in the hearts of people. They're getting it full force. They're getting a big load of it. Hell here, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that you get unto heaven here and you go on to heaven. I believe that your eternal life starts here when you get saved and then you go on into the eternal life that you live here. And I know heaven's going to be outstanding and we only get in earnest. We get a down payment and we're going to get the fullness of it sometime being in His presence. But I believe that your eternal life is here, starts here. You're alive. You're a being from the time you were created in your mother's womb. You become a being that God has brought into this world and you're going to go right on somewhere. And at some point in this world, Christ paid a price that we can be converted from the place that we go to eternal damnation and get the hell out of our hearts. Because I want to tell you, when you start having envy and jealousies and all those thoughts and things, it's hell invading you. And the Lord wants to conquer that in our lives. And so we can make the transition and go on and be with heaven, with the Lord, and we've got the goods. But by the same thing, the influences of the devil and his hell is influencing the world more and more. Now our society used to have better barriers. We used to depend on our society for barriers. Certain things was not acceptable. As a matter of fact, it's been a while, but you can go back at points in our culture, and I am not talking about necessarily people that were religious. I'm talking about the religious influence that went back through our country and through the time. And there was a time to where people didn't accept the divorce situation. Now, it was pre my life, but I remember my grandparents talking about, you know, my grandmother told me she was born about, somewhere early 19, I think she was born about 1906 or something like that, 1909 through there somewhere. But she told me, she said, as a young girl growing up, you know, she told me what a teacher was when she was growing up, what a teacher was. A teacher back then couldn't be out past 10 o'clock at night. You think of that? If you're going to teach my children, you're going to act right. Yeah, you can't go around, Kenneth. They couldn't be somebody that went out to establishments. They couldn't drink or chew or smoke. I'm talking society. The society said that if you're going to deal with the precious things, you're going to have a standard to do it. Had to dress a certain way. And most generally, there was a Sunday school teacher somewhere that they had to be an active. So, because people wanted to trust them and have trust in them. There was standards of society that was built. But you know, our standards of societal standards have wore down. They wore down. A lot of those kind of things has wore down. And just morality. And hell has replaced them. And we're going towards more deviance all the time. Going more towards that. And there's 10,000 foes that's trying to challenge us. And you know, I don't believe everything is the devil. I think there's natural situations. I think there is people working in good will. I think that. But I want to tell you this. The devil will take advantage of everything he can take advantage of. Everything. And I don't think modern invention. I don't think we ought to neglect modern inventions. My yacht drive. I'm a last holdout most of the time. But I drive a vehicle and I talk on a cell phone. I still got the old flip phone. That's what we have, the flip phone. Remember that? And we'll get somewhere else after a while, but we just slow getting there. But we'll go to more technology. I don't think everything's wrong. But I tell you this, the devil will get anything he can. And if he can get in the internet and get you young people, old people, middle-aged people to start hitting buttons you shouldn't hit, don't you think the devil's going to do it? There's 10,000 foes around. He's in all kind of things. He'll be in everything that you can do or say. And I'll happen to say this. I'm not an internet person. I very rarely even do internet and those kind of things. But I'll say even innocent sites on there are ungodly in advertisement. You start seeing it, it'll be something ungodly almost every time come up there. Well, we've accepted it. A lot of us. I mean, what are you going to do? Lord, help us. Hell is enlarging itself. It was hard for the devil to get into the old phone lines. Well, he did it through gossip. I mean, he could get into there some way. He couldn't get in there. But it was hard to get in there too much. But I've been to the altar too many times with young men that said, I got a problem. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I said, well, you know, environment's half of it. You need to get rid of it. I said, where's it happening at? Pull it right here. Said, I can do it right here. Lord, help us. It used to be you had to put out an effort to do that kind of wrong. And now you can do it. It's a microwave. 10,000 foes arise. And we're, by God's grace, listen, I want you to know this. God ain't short. The blood of Jesus, where iniquity abound, the grace does much more abound. I'll tell you that. God's more than God enough to keep us in 2018 with pure lives. But God don't do it all, folks. There's a part He does, and there's a part we do. We can't do His, He won't do ours. We got to do our part. And my soul is continually in my hands. I need to guard my soul. And I don't think it'd be foolish for us to get together and draw up a discipline on how we act about the internet and all those kind of things. I think we're way beyond that. But I'll say this. It's still up to the preacher to preach it. You better watch your soul. You better guard yourself. Because there's a heaven to go to. And there's a hell to go to. There is a place of judgment to where the Lord Himself declared it. That we're going to stand before Him and give an account of the deeds done in this body. Of how we responded and how we acted and what we did. And it's up to us to guard our own souls. And make it more important than anything else. And there'll be a time, I'm going to tell you, there'll be a time that you ain't going to have the support of society. Societal walls has fell down. There used to be a time that society would not have allowed the filthiness that's in the airwaves to be there. Those days are long gone. There was a time that they wouldn't let filthy magazines be out. It was against the law. Not against the law anymore to have any of that. The barriers are down. It reminds me of a scripture. It reminds me of a scenario. The scripture said that God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And in the midst or the centra the center of the garden, there was two trees. You know what? You could have put one off on the corner, maybe walk a mile. If the tree of life was there in the center, and maybe the tree of the forbidden fruit was off in the corner sometime, it'd be a different story. But you know, it says that they were in the midst of the garden. I don't know how close they was to one another, but I doubt if you could eat it from the tree of life without noticing the other tree. I'm going to tell you what I get from it. There's going to be a time for every one of us. Forget the societal walls. Forget mom and dad. Forget the preacher. Forget everybody else. You're standing right there with the choice. I've used the internet for great sourcing. Great sourcing for messages. You get on there and read the Bible. You get on there and listen to Church of God website preaching. You can listen to the singing from the different camp meetings. You encourage yourself. It's right there. The tree, you can get the good that's right there. How fast could you go into something else? Well, I don't know how fast your internet is, but how fast could you get there? If it's running well and there's no disturbances, you can go from one to the other faster than you almost think. Hell's enlarging itself. There was a time that a certain movement, again, I want to state very clearly that we love everybody. But what the Bible calls deviant is deviant. What the Bible calls wrong is wrong. What it calls an abomination is an abomination. All right? It's the root of our faith. There was a time to where certain behaviors, I'm just going to say it out, alternative lifestyle behaviors, that was generally accepted on one side of the spectrum. And more now, it's hitting dead center people. Dead center. People, I'm telling you, I hear about it all the time, and I'm saying Christian-based, faith-believing, God-loving, so-called people, right in the middle of that. It didn't used to be like that so much. Now it's right dead, more and more and more. You're getting it right from that place. Confusing more and more and more and more. And hell's enlarging itself, taking in as much ground as it can take in. And 10,000 foes have arisen against us to challenge us in our lives. We are a bountiful country. Thank God for it. I thank God for the material blessings that He's given us. I wish everybody prosperity, but not to the detriment of our souls, oh Lord. Lord, don't allow it to be to the detriment of our souls that we get over large, over big, too much. We care too much about those things than we care about the Lord. We have so much that enables us to have the time, the health, the energy to evangelize the world, and we don't do anything much but evangelize ourselves. I mentioned the other night, my tables are full, but my fields are empty. But I'm prosperous. I got everything I need. I got a vehicle. I can travel anywhere. I can go anywhere. I can do anything. But I don't do anything. And I remember several years ago reading from a guy that was in India. He was a minister. He was a young Christian man, and he had gotten saved, and he was in a very turbulent time where he was at in India. And he was a lot of persecution, and he couldn't freely preach and tell people about the Lord. And every time he tried, the people was receptive, but the government would get him. Or someone would come, and he couldn't do it. And he longed to go to the United States. He said, I long to go where you can preach on the preaching corner. And said, where they're free, they must be just telling about the Lord everywhere. And I'd like to go and be in that kind of place. And he come over here for about a year, and he said, I'm going back where you can preach the gospel. Lord, help us. Because the devil will get you in ungodliness. I mean, he'll get you in impurities. He'll get you in one thing, or he'll get you in laziness. He'll get you in lethargic activity. He'll get you in indifference. He'll get you not to care and to have the passion that you ought to have. He'll do it one way or the other, and it's why 10,000 foes have arisen. Sin's pressing hard against us. Folks, I believe for every time in the history of God's church is a unique time, and everyone that makes their way to heaven from that time is worthy of it. Through Christ, it's because it's Christ, it's not us. It's because Christ has done something. And you know, the martyrs was an incredible time of hostility and brutality, and men and women gave their lives and went right through the great persecutions with their hand lifted, burning at the stake, and loved God through it all. I may not have to do that. I might have to deal with the internet. I'm going to have to deal with the saturation of media and saturation of ideas and views and all that, and need to stay true all the way through it. I was challenged one time in my faith. My first wife got cancer, ended up in the hospital, done all the things. I had seen everything. I asked questions. I sat beside the doctors. I sat beside the technicians. I said, how does this machine work? What does this do? What are you doing? You put dye in the vein and the vein shows up in the x-rays. You do this. You put them in a MRI, magnetic resonating imagery. They put them in there and the magnetic forces turns the electrons in your bodies counterclockwise, and when they hit it with a great magnetic force, it turns them backwards, and when they stop the magnetic force, they start to spin the other way. When it does, it puts off an image, and they collect that image through the machine. Wow. I kept saying, wow, you can do that. Who come up with that? That was pretty good. Oh, the great understanding and the men's technologies and all that thing. And I got to the end of it, and I said, where do I stand? Where do I stand in all this? I looked and seen and all of those things. And I'll tell you where I stood when I seen it all. Can you measure my soul for me? Can you look inside my heart? I tell you where I got to the end of it. You all done a pretty good job. But you ain't God. You ain't nowhere near Him. And God ain't fascinated by your works. Ain't fascinated by the... I ain't being condemned. I'm just telling you. You can look at that and say that it's some kind of great thing. But God ain't impressed with what man's done. He ain't impressed with that. Oh, the internet and the information highway and the great information's out there. God ain't impressed with all that information man's collected. He knows all that and more. Way more. But the devil is bringing it on as if it's God. If people would pray as much as they text, boy, we'd be in a place. I'm telling you, God would have moved, because we go down the highway. Me and my family go down the highway. Hey, what's she doing over there? People texting. Driving down the road, texting. I think they even made laws against it. If they didn't, they should. People texting, going down the road texting, stopping right texting. Everybody's in a hurry, gotta keep texting. What did we do before it? Well, maybe they're texting out prayers. I'm a judge of those things. I'll say this. I doubt it. And I'll also say, Lord, help us. My soul be on thy guard. My soul be on my guard that I don't lose my salvation. That I keep my heart right before the Lord. I'm going to have to stand before Him. It ain't by my power, but it's my intention that gets me there. Lord, help us. The scripture said, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I'll see in Luke 22. Oh, see. 51 says, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But this is your hour. The power of darkness. This is your time. This is your time. I believe the Bible is forewarning us of an incredible darkness at the end of time. So it was in the days as it was in the days of Noah. You know what it was like in the days of Noah? It said that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. When God looked down upon it, when he looked down on it, which is a God of great mercy and concern and love for mankind, and when he looked down upon it, and he knew that he needed a seed, he needed an idea, he needed a thought, he needed a way to deal with the hearts of men, he found none. The imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. He found only Noah, minding things of God. Only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it wasn't because God is a respecter of persons, because he's not a respecter of persons. If it had been two Noahs, he'd have had both of them. If it had been more, he wouldn't have sent it. There was only one. And the rest of them's heart, their minds was only evil continually. They couldn't do anything else. The only thing was cheating, conniving, fleshly activities, fleshly things, no godliness, no desire for God. Nothing was left to make a sacrifice. Nothing was left to contact God with. And so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I think there'll be people here. I think the Bible declares that there will be a people, a remnant. There'll be people there. But the hearts of the society around us is being influenced more and more by what Jesus said in his day. He said, no, there's a reason why you didn't get me in the day. You didn't do it while I was with you. There's a reason now, and it's because your hour, your time is here for the darkness that you're going to be presenting. The darkness was going to be ugly. It was going to be abusive. It was going to be full of the devil. The winning of the devil was going to be full force, and Jesus was going to bear that. And here it was. 10,000 foes arise against our souls, folks, in this time. But there's a God. There's a God. I want to tell you, cling to the Lord. There's an answer. It's Jesus. Jesus overcomes the devil. Every time he faced it, he commanded him. Jesus don't have to deal with the devil. He commands him. When he went to Legion, the Legion, them, all them spirits, they cried out, "Are you here to torment us before our time?" Total subjection to the Master. You want to have victory? I'll tell you, guard your soul, and the way you guard your soul best is your close relationship with the Lord. Listen, I don't claim that I ain't think everything right, and I do everything right. I claim that the Lord does. And if I'm going to keep my soul, it's going to be in my close contact with the one that's able to keep it. And he's able to keep it through the harshest, cruelest times that we could ever think to face. When evil is all around us, we can still, and it's been proven. Stephen was a man that the scripture says over in Acts was full of the Holy Ghost. And he started preaching to them, and it said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he didn't preach it calm either. He told them right down the line, "Your fathers killed the prophets and you're their sons. And you crucified the Lord of glory," and he preached it right to them. And to those, why did he do it? In the Holy Ghost. It was their best chance and opportunity to be saved. That's why they heard it. Amen. And they gnashed their teeth and got their stones and started stoning him to death. And he did not waver. Though 10,000 foes arise. Oh, Stephen was right there doing the will of God, facing death of the body. Oh, but they couldn't take his soul, could they? No, he couldn't take his soul. They really were just doing him a favor. You know what? You better watch how hard you throw that rock. You're about to set me free. You're about to do me a favor. You think you're being ugly and mean, but God's going to take me out of here and I'm going to glory, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Lord, help us. The Holy Ghost is an important fact. We need a Holy Ghost in 2018. We need an experience of giving our life totally to the Lord and being led by His Spirit, not walking in the flesh, because that's where the avenues is going to come in. Your desire. You know what they say that con artists look for? Very simple. Con artists look for one thing. A little dishonesty. If they find a person that's a little dishonest, they can pull their tricks on them. They find an honest man, there ain't no tricks pulled. It was a guy one, I read this as a part of a criminal thing. The guy had this buddy system, but guy comes up and tells this guy, he says, I got this dog. And he said, this dog is a very special dog. Said, I gotta go meet a doctor's appointment. I wonder if you just keep my dog, if you'll keep him an hour. If you'll keep him an hour, he said, I'll pay you so much, but you keep hold the dog. So the guy agrees, well, since you got a dog, I'll keep your dog for you. Well, he goes out and another guy comes in and says, I'll buy that dog off of you. Well, I can't say, I recognize that dog. That's a very special breed of dog right there. You know, them dogs is worth thousands of dollars. That's a very special, I'll give you so much money for it, he says. And the guy said, well, if you change your mind, he don't sell it to her, if you change your mind. And the guy comes back with the deal and if you get his dog, and oh, what's the matter? Got bad news from the doctor. I'm going to have to try to raise some money. The guy there sitting thinking, I'll buy your dog off of you. Oh, yeah, okay, I guess I'm going to have to sell my dog. Guy buys the dog. Gives him several hundred dollars for a dog that's worth several thousand dollars, and he's a mongrel. Because he wasn't going to tell the guy how much the guy had offered. Oh, he looks a little dishonest. You know the devil is looking for a little dishonesty in you? You got a little dishonesty in you? He's going to get you. You're going to have to be on guard your soul. Be honest. Keep your convictions. Keep your consecrations to the Lord. You make consecration to the Lord, hold your consecration to the Lord. The devil's after your consecration. He knows if he can make you waver with the consecration, he's going to move in. And there's 10,000 foes arising, and hell's enlarged itself, and our world around is becoming more and more ungodly, accepting anything and everything, and nothing seems to matter, and it's beginning to be more perverse all the time, to where animal life is more important than human life, vegetable life is more important than human life. I mean, you can kill people and get by with it, but you can't hardly cut a tree down. Lord help us. In places, it's true. There was a place several years ago, it was out in Colorado. I remember the issue that was made about it. Some guy poached a deer out there. He poached a deer and it had twin fawns, and he paid triple cost on his fine. They made him pay for unborn deer. They fined him for it. And at the same time, they was arguing a case over there, and the very ones that was arguing that was arguing that it was okay to have abortions because it wasn't life. Now, a deer can be life, but a human can't be, because hell's enlarging itself and is trying to confuse our minds about God and everything about it. God said, this is something God said, God told Adam and told man that he was caretakers of the earth. He's to be the overseer of it. It's foolish for us to destroy our environment, folks. It's ungodly to do. I mean, it's honest. It is crazy for us to destroy what God has given us. We're to be good stewards of it. Obviously, it's ridiculous to go try to swim in water that's got trash and junk and it'll make you sick. Wouldn't that be silly to do? Of course we ought to keep the water clean. But at the same time, it ain't God. It's a creation of God. And you can read over there in Romans where it says it, and boy, is it coming full force that they worship the creation more than the Creator, who created all things, who gave us all things. He's God tonight. Keep my soul, I've got to be on guard for this time. There's not been a time like 2018. And this time that we live in, God still got grace for us in this time to live successfully right here. And listen, don't allow all this that's going on in the world to confuse you, to worry you. Don't allow it to overcome you. Don't allow it to make you bitter towards people. Devil wins. That's not, our battle isn't with flare up. There's been religious people that thought, if I'm going to fight abortion, I'm going to get out here and pick it and I'll blow up the clinic. The devil just beat you, brother. You just got beat by the devil. The devil's influence and hatred and malice and bitterness into your heart. Well, love will win. Love will win. Keep a loving. That's what God gave us to fight with. He gave us the weapons of our warfare. Fight it with prayer and faith and fight it with love and fight it with God. That's what God wants us to do. My soul is being attacked by this kind of perverseness, and sometimes I get angry, and if I'm not careful, I get bitter. That's not the battle. Keep my soul on guard. Make sure that there's love all the way through. What did Stephen say at the rock throwers? He didn't let them get him, did he? You gonna take me out of here short, brother. You guys are gonna take me out of here short throwing these stones at me. That ain't right. That's unjust. What did he say? He said not to lay it to the charge. Lord, don't. Not for me. Not for me. Be forgiving. He won. Folks, he won his battle. And one of these days, we're going to stand before the Lord, having come through this perverse time and world that we live in, and we want to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. You kept me. You kept me through it all. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, I fought a good fight. Oh, you look at Paul, what he went through. He gets down at the end of it and they're about to take his head off. I think he's very aware of it. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course.
Amen.
And I kept the faith. They throwed everything at me. Tried to discourage me. I went through shipwrecks. He said he fought at beasts at Ephesus. He fought false prophets, false apostles, false teachers. He fought the devil here and there. He fought with all kinds of different things. He fought the Jews. He fought the religious ideas. He fought it all. And he come down to the end of it and said, I've kept the faith. Through all that was thrown at me, God's grace was sufficient for me. Folks, tonight, be on your guard. Guard your soul against those kind of impressions that the devil's wanting to bring for our time. Because if we're not very careful, although we may not give in totally, when we yield ground, many times we affect our children. By giving ground into things, we affect the generation before us. Let's walk true, as the scripture says, so those that are lame, that's following behind us, will have a good straight path to walk in. I have a good straight idea of what it means to serve God in this time. Let's not be indifferent about God. Let's not be lacking on passion on God. We have passion on a lot of things. People like to do a lot of things. I can see it all around me. People like to do a lot of things. And have passion about do it. What about God? I mention this a lot, but it was true. I was out here one time and several years ago, and it must have been in the fall, but I remember... I turned on the radio, I was listening to the radio, and one of the guys said, was talking about out at Norman, and the guy said, what's it look like out there? He said, it's a sea of crimson or whatever it was. Said, there's thousands of people gathered in here, and I thought, you must be playing football out there. Probably what's going on, probably playing a football game out there. And a little bit the guy said, this was 10 o'clock in the morning. I thought, we must have gone to be playing at noon. A noon game or something out there. And a little bit, the guy said, well, we'll be back at 6 for kickoff. And there was thousands of people out there lining up at the stadium and getting ready for a football game. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. They wasn't playing until 6 o'clock. What time you get to service? Hey, come on. What's your passion at the Lord about? You got that kind of passion that, hey, camp meeting's coming. We need to work. Start praying and inviting people and something. Because if they have fans of OU can do that for little to nothing, I want to tell you, they'll be disappointed on the best years, generally. I mean, it's a disappointing thing. Lord, don't disappoint us, folks, and it's worth giving something for. David said about going down to Goliath, is there not a cause? Everybody's standing around here shaking and fighting, and God's word's on the line. God's honor's on the line. God said He was going to be with us and fight our battles, and ain't nobody willing to go take on an uncircumcised giant. Is there not a cause? Joshua did it. Gideon did it. Moses did it. Why can't we do it? Our forefathers done it. Our forefathers labored in prayer and had victory over things. They had passion and brought it to us. Can we not have some passion and desire for the Lord? To give the Lord a little bit of something of our lives and do it with some zeal or gusto? Well, I ain't trying to be bigger than I am. There are sometimes I think about going to service and I'm tired and weary, and sometimes it's a press on the flesh. But I didn't tell the Lord that I was going to serve Him that way. I told the Lord that if He'd save me, I'd serve Him whether I felt like it or not. I don't want to go to service not feeling like it. So I've done it this way. I seek for the desire to serve the Lord. And when I don't have it, I've got it back by commitment, by consecration. When I don't feel like it, I can fall back on my consecration. I told the Lord I was going to do it. I don't have to feel like it to do it. But if I go very long without feeling about it, I'm saying, Lord, help me. I don't want this to be this. I want the passion to serve You with. And the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And they are, because they know that diligent work and diligent effort, and those fans know that the fans make a difference, and they know if they're going to win, they're going to put their whole heart into it, and if everybody does, they'll be winners, and they know that. Business people know it, that if you give your all and put the right things into it, you'll be a winner, and you'll make money, and the world knows all these kind of things, and the scripture actually says that they are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I shudder to think of that. Lord, help us to have a passion and a desire to serve the Lord, because I'm going to tell you, we are combating hell itself in our generation. The hour is come and the darkness is pervading over us. And if we want to battle that, and you're going to tell your children in a time of great excitement and fanfare and activities and the things that the world can offer. I told somebody last night, I think it was Sister Connor, I said, when I was a little boy growing up, we got one channel that was fuzzy on the TV antenna up there, and it was one fuzzy channel, so it wasn't overly exciting getting involved in it. The world's offering all kinds of things. I imagine every movie ever made could be experienced by you tonight if you want to. Everything that was ever thought, every song that was ever wrote, everything that's ever done pretty much that's in modern society is at your fingertips and you can do it. And the world's offering it to our children, and we're going to compare that with what? A humdrum life of living for the Lord? It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. They're not going to be excited about it. Over in the scriptures, I use this as an example, but it was so true. God didn't expect the nation of Israel to stay out there in the wilderness. And they get out there in the wilderness and they start comparing and they start looking and saying, we're eating manna. I mean, manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper. That was pretty good the first day it fell. I even think it was pretty good the first few weeks. But how would you like? You like pizza? How about pizza for breakfast, lunch, and supper? And if you have a snack, have pizza. And then you get up the next morning, pizza, pizza, pizza. Third day, fourth day. 40 years into it, you're still eating pizza. Well, that's a good spicy thing, but I am 40 years into that. That'd be a little bit too much. And they look at it and say, manna again? Oh, Egypt. Egypt. Egypt, it had leeks and garlics and melons. Oh, give us Egypt. Out here we're starving. And this taste, no taste, nothing to it. Folks, the wilderness experience loses to Egypt. You get me? It was Canaan that was supposed to be compared. You aren't there. If your experience in the Lord is lacking tonight, it's not a Canaan one. Canaan one is full of pomegranates and grapes on staves that guided the ground and milk and honey. And it was a land of prosperity and good and all that. And if they had that, they wouldn't have wanted the world. Wouldn't wanted Egypt. But they didn't. They was eating manna. Two different descriptions. It kind of sounded like a graham cracker. It wasn't even pizza. It sounded like, it's kind of, if you look at it, kind of like a graham cracker or something. I mean, maybe fluffy or something. I don't know. But I couldn't imagine 40 years of anything. Did get a little quail here and there and disrupted the things and murmured and complained. It was all spiritually. Manna, of course, was a very thing to talk about, but from heaven and what God had given. No doubt it was nutritious. They wasn't supposed to be in the wilderness. They didn't have faith enough to go to the Canaan land. You want to fight this world and be successful. And this onslaught of hell that's pervading our world, you better fight it with Canaan. With a experience of Christ. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing I ever done. Listen, I run the world. I tried the things young men did this and that. None of it ever satisfied me to want to keep it. I done all the things the world could offer it and say, it's not any good. It's not doing anything for me. And I found Jesus. It's been right ever since. You start comparing the real experience in Jesus with whatever the world brings, and the world loses. It's pale in comparison. Devil, you ain't got a thing to offer with the glory and the blessing that God shines in my soul. If you don't have folks in for a long run, it's going to be battle, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be difficult. You're going to know you should do right, but the world offers so much. It's got so much to do and to experience, and the world's getting smaller. We can travel the world. You can see people and you can experience. And you better have Jesus. Lord, help us tonight. Guard your soul with the infilling of God's Spirit and live and love God, and you'll be secured. Not because you can't, but because you would never want to. There's nothing that can outdo Him. We was leaving here one time years ago, and we passed the little amusement park up the road there. And I can still remember because it was a really good night at service, and we was inspired, and we drove by there, and we looked over at there, and I said something about the merry-go-round, or his Ferris wheel, or whatever. I said something about it. My wife's response was, "Yeah, you know, Six Flags over Texas and all that stuff. Tried all that. Give me Jesus." Just better what we got's better than all that. I'm not saying that there isn't places for things, and I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, if you want to compare, there ain't no comparison. Jesus outshines them all. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.